only he would just try. When you're a child who can't focus or control his impulses, most teachers treat you as if you either don't understand what's expected of you or you simply don't care. You spend your school years annoying and/or disappointing everyone, and most teachers' feeling for you is one of either condescension or chagrin. I don't know if I would have graduated high school at all if it hadn't been for my success on the wrestling team and the fact that my mother was willing to take my dictation. Once a month, she would type my papers for me while I'd pace between the kitchen and the living room, calling them out to her. Although school often left me feeling humiliated and angry, I made it through and was even admitted to the state university. At the time, they'd admit you based solely on a decent SAT score. But university looked more like the same: sit still, be quiet, and regurgitate what we say. The only thing it seemed to offer was an education in competitive drinking, and since I'd already mastered that in high school, I didn't see the point in staying. So after 7 weeks at college, I shaved my hair into a mohawk, dropped out, and went surfing. Fortunately, I found the world was a lot nicer to me than school had been. Out in the world, there was no homework. Work was engaging because it required me to learn hands-on and problem-solve. I was required to come up with my own solutions to problems rather than memorize the solutions someone else came up with years ago. Learning was in context. You always knew why you needed to know something. Problems or situations at work brought up questions, and then you looked for the answers. At school, I could never focus on all those answers to questions I'd never asked. During the next 10 years, I traveled and surfed, built furniture, became a personal trainer, started and ran several small businesses. I'd begun to work the chip off my shoulder I'd left school with. I realized I wasn't lazy or stupid, but rather conscientious, thoughtful, and smart. At 28, although much about me had changed, I was still a party animal. And then one morning I woke up on the side of the road with no idea how I got there. Death had narrowly missed me, and something inside me was deeply shaken. I started reflecting on my life so far, and the inside of me cried out for a reason for my being there. During the next week, the pieces of my life floated in my mind. A pattern began to emerge, and things started to fit together. I still carried the shame of being ADHD. It had been a secret no one but me, the doctors, and my parents knew. Ritalin was the disguise I needed to survive behind enemy lines. Every time I took that pill, I also swallowed the belief that I was broken, disordered, and not like everyone else. But the last 10 years had begun to teach me something else. Instead of being the one who couldn't sit still, I was the one who kept moving and got a lot done. Instead of being unable to focus on one thing, I was able to do several things at once and adapt quickly. Instead of being too impulsive and aggressive, I was spontaneous and driven. Instead of asking too many questions, I was a good problem solver. Instead of being unable to follow the rules, I was creative and unafraid to take risks. The flip side of those characteristics that had been called a disorder and needed fixing with medication were actually my strengths. It had taken me 28 years to realize, but I was a lion. The moment I put it all together, I also realized there must be millions of lions in schools across America that no one knew what to do with. And I knew I needed to find those children and help raise them. The next day, I walked into the local elementary school and said, "I'd like to work with the most difficult kids you've got, the kids who drive your teachers crazy, the ones no one knows what to do with." Crisis Joe. Not surprisingly, it turned out I had a knack for working with difficult kids. And 7 months after I walked into that school, I was working as the crisis intervention specialist at a camp for 280 of the country's all-star behavior problems. Since I didn't have a college degree, I'd simply applied to be a counselor. But after I told the owner of the camp my background and my realization about ADHD being more a gift than a disorder, he asked me to be one of two crisis intervention specialists. The other crisis intervention specialist had a PhD and would train me on the job. That summer was exhilarating. I'd be working with a particularly difficult bunk when the PA system would announce, "Crisis Joe to G15, Crisis Joe to G15, and I'd run up to bunk G15 to find a 9-year-old girl with a broomstick, two broken windows, and her counselor backed into a corner trying to fend off the blows. I had good instincts, and the kids I worked with turned around. Perhaps because I'd been so much like them, I knew what needed to be done in critical moments. I didn't take it personally when kids threw tantrums or tried to manipulate me because I intuitively understood why they were doing it. Because I had struggled to harness the same unruly mind each of these children had, I brought to my work a vision of the capacity